says that to be yotze the doraisa, the best thing is to do when a person comes to you, give him everything he needs. If you can't afford it, give him chaimish, which is that comes like how does he call it? Mitzvah min amuchol. Then comes the midah beinoni, medium is to give him meisel, and there's less than that is solo sign.
Okay, now the inyan of meisel stopim that Ramon Paskin, you should only give it to the anim. Whoever saw the shach in the taz, they bring the cholkin, they bring the malshal, they bring the other sheitos that you can use it for other mitzvahs or only in certain circumstances. So b'seidah. So that we've basically seen. So this week we'll see two things, Bezad Hashem, two topics. The first thing, who is obligated to give Maisa? Who is obligated to give Maisa? And the second way is how you calculate Maisa. Okay, so that's basically the two things we've seen this week. So the two in the name of Rav Saadio, he brings it a person who doesn't have money to support his family, his potu from Maisa. The Ramo, at the end of Resh Nun Aleph, brought this, and the Gaon explained it's because of Chayecha Kodmim. So he says it was mefakbik in the Shita, but however you learn, if you're chayev or not chayev, the Gemara says it's a very good idea to give. The Gemara brings a pasuk, I think it's a pasuk in Iyov. Where was the pasuk? Anyone remembers? I think it was pasuk in Iyov, right? So the pasuk goes like this: Mshleimi v'chen rabim v'chen agoizu v'ovar. And the Gemara dash in the apostle like this: Imshleimim. Imshleimim means if a person has exactly what he needs, that's shalim. V'chein rabim, and kol sheken if he has a lot of money. V'chein agoizu v'va. So you cut off from them, it will pass. The Gemara used the marshal of Kivso, right? Then v'inisicha. The apostle continues v'inisicha. It means an ani, which needs to take tzedakah. Lo'en choid. A person like this, they will not show him simon anius anymore. He's not going to be an ani anymore. So even if a person is patur from giving tzedakah, it may be a very good idea to yes give it, because you're going to get more. I saw they're handling, if he'll get 10 times more than what he gives, or 100 times more, they're learning from Yaakov Avinu, exactly how many times more he's going to get. Okay, in the Gemara in Bavli Basra, we've seen something very interesting. It seems in this Gemara, I never knew that before, but many Mefalshim learn it like this, that every year, we know there was a Machzis HaShekel, people that learned that Yomi just finished Shkalim now, there was a Musag of giving a Machzis HaShekel for buying new Kolbonos in the Beis HaMikdash every year. Besides that, many Mefalshim hold that there was another Shlishis HaShekel, an amount of Shlishis HaShekel, that they would give every year to the Bedek HaBais, the Beis HaMikdash, to renovation of the Beis HaMikdash. They would give a Shlishis HaShekel. So from that Shlishis HaShekel, we learn that you should give tzedakah. That's the minimum amount of giving tzedakah every year. It says kol sheken tzedakah. Tzedakah is even greater than this money which was given to the Bedek HaBais. Okay.
You know how much that is?
How much is it today? So a shekel today, five shkolim makes a pidyon aved. So I think five shkolim is about 100 shekels today. So that means every shekel. So about 7 shekels. More or less, is the minimum a person needs to give. What? Because you bought the coin. You don't have to buy the coin, you can buy the weight of silver. The coins are more expensive. You don't have to get the coin. So the coins are more expensive, but the weight of silver I think is worth about 100 shekels today. So that would mean that about 7 shekels. So if you... What? Shlishi is a shekel. If one shekel is about 20. If 5 shkali is 100, so 1 is about 20, right? And shlishi, a third of it, about 7. I'm going with chumo, a little bit with chumo. Okay. Yeah. So... Okay. So now the Shulchan Aruch, basically, in the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes down to Shulchan Aruch, it seems like it's hard to understand. So what is the halacha? If you look at Resh Mem Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says like this: Kol adam chayav liten tzedakah. Every person is obligated to give tzedakah. Afilu ani amispanes min tzedakah chayav liten mima sheitnu loy. Even a poor person which received tzedakah has to give tzedakah from whatever he gets.
Then he goes and whoever doesn't give what they do to him. But he starts with saying that every person needs to give tzedakah. If you look in Reishon Aleph, it says, in Daramah, Gimel says, Daramah says like this, Parnasas Atzmo Kodemes Lechol Adam, a person's own needs comes before everyone else, right? As the Gaon said, Chayecha Kodmi. Ve'inu Chav Liten Tzedakah Ad Shiyelo Parnasasai. He does not have to give any tzedakah until he has his panoso. Once he has his panoso, so first his parents come, then his children, then his brothers, and so on. Mizrat Hashem, we'll see next week exactly the dinek dima of who you should give first, who you should give second, and everything. But it says over here clearly that a person's panoso is koidem to everyone else. You don't have to give tzedakah unless you have. Now, there's one more marim okoim in Reish Nun Gimel Sif Beis. Reish Nun Gimel Sif Beis says, Reish Nun Gimel speaks about who is roi to receive tzedakah, who's allowed to receive tzedakah. So in Aleph he goes very long how much money a person needs to have, and then he can't receive tzedakah anymore. And then he says, Yeshayim, there's those who say shelo nemu ashirim alalu elamem. All these amounts were in the olden days. So if you had 200 zuz, so that would be enough to not take any tzedakah. אבל בזמן הזה יכול לטעול עד שיהיה לו קרן כדי שיתפרנסו בני ביסוי מהרווח ודבורים של תענב. Unless a person has enough money that he can put this money in an investment and get and make off this investment enough money to support himself and his family, right? That's what it says. Then,
until then, he can still receive tzedakah.
Okay, so after seeing all that, so what is the gedol? So when do you have to give? It says even a poor person. Here we're talking about a person. He has $100,000, but the revenue from it is $10,000. Not enough to support his family. He needs $12,000 a year. So it says he doesn't have to give tzedakah. And over here we're saying an oni which takes tzedakah has to give tzedakah. So what is going on? So the Shach basically says that there is three levels. He says there's three levels. He says if a person has no money at all to support his family, right? And then that's what we saw in Reish Nun Gimel, that in Reish Nun Aleph, sorry. In Reish Nun Aleph, what we've seen is if a person does not have money to support himself and his family, so then he doesn't need to give any other tzedakah. The second level is when a person has enough for a short time, to support himself for a short time. And Reb Moshe says for a day or two, meaning he has enough money for a day or two. So then, he's allowed to receive tzedakah, but he also has to give tzedakah. So again, for a person not to give tzedakah, he needs to have money only for today. Because if you have leftover for a day or two, so then he for sure can receive tzedakah. He's a poor person, but he needs to also give tzedakah.
And what he needs to give is a shlish shekel for the year?
That's the minimum. I saw very interesting, it just opened, I wasn't planning to open, but this is the Meforesh, which is called Rishon Letzion. He's in the back here in this volume. It's the Rishon Letzion. Anyone ever heard about the Rishon Letzion? I also didn't know what it is, so I opened it in the beginning to tell you what it is. It's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh has a pirush on Yerideo. It's called Rishon Letzion. So he says that if there's two poor people, what they should do is give, each one should give the other one. So he says then they're both Yoitz of the Mitzvah of Tzedakah, and also they don't have any less than what they had. I just read a story on Shabbos that there was a person that he was taken by the mafia, and he said that if he'll be free, so he'll give $18,000 to Tzedakah. At the end he was freed, but he had no money left because of the exchange rate and whatever happened. Well, right? So he didn't know what to do. And then he met his friend that told him that he was also poor, and he said that his son was sick, Lo'aleinu, and he said that if he'll become healthy, he'll give $18,000 to tzedakah. Now he doesn't know what to do. So he told him, listen, I have a great idea. I'll borrow $18,000 for a day. I'll give it to you. You'll give it to me. We'll both be yoytzer our mitzvah. But the other one wasn't sure that it's going to work. So such a story already happened way before. He came to the Birkei Yosef, and he said that it works. He brings a Gemara. The Gemara says if a person says, I'm accepting myself to be a Nazir, and I'm going to bring a korbanos for a different Nazir, and another guy said it, so each one can bring the korbanos for his friend, and they can be yoitza like that. So the ma'aseh, you could do it. So also the Lachaim says in the Mefoirosh, if there's two poor people, they should give each other their tzedakah. They're both yoitza tzedakah behidu, and don't lack anything. Okay. Fine. Now, the third level is a person which has enough keren, enough money, that he can live on what comes out of it. Such a person cannot receive any tzedakah. Now, the nachlas tzvi, pinus, that even the person which is on the lowest level, the imamish has money only for food today, is obligated to give the shlishi sashekel b'shono. Saying, you were saying seven shekels, what is
one
it?
Day, say, but one day you have to do it with a little bit less.
One, yeah, or one day he's going to have to give it to his friend, so I'm going to give him or something. Yeah, but one day he's going to have to do it because you can't give less than that. Shlishi sashekel b'shono is something that you're just obligated to do. There's no way out. Okay. And they bring it from the Taz. The Taz also in Hilchos of Matonis Anim and Purim. Matonis Lev Yoinim, he also brings to this Achilu of Shlishi Sashek HaBashano no matter what. Okay. Now we're getting to the Shusi Gosh Moshe. In the Shusi Gosh Moshe, he had a few Chidushim there. Basically, the question was very interesting. Because the father-in-law is giving his son-in-law money so his son-in-law can sit and learn. He wants his son-in-law to sit and learn. So he's giving him, what was it, $10,000? $10,000. The old day was a lot of money. $10,000. You could have bought easily an apartment with $10,000 if you go enough years back. Halnof, you could have bought, when they were selling in the beginning, Halnof was $12,000 an apartment. So, and that I think happened even before. So maybe at the time you could have bought two apartments in Yerushalayim for $10,000. Good old days. So, so anyway, so the father-in-law gave him, and now the son-in-law, he wants to give Maisa, and the father-in-law doesn't want him to give Maisa, and basically he says I have three reasons why I don't want you to give Maisa. So some reasons, when we read them in the beginning, we didn't even understand what does the father-in-law want. He says But then when Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva, so then we chapped what was the mistake. So he says, first of all, the dunya he gave the chasen and kala, he said, I already took out my son on that. And second of all, he said that I paid for the band and the wedding, and I paid for the waiters more than my son. So, like, we all said, so what? Like, who cares? Like, what shaykh is? So we'll see soon what shaykh is. And then it was the third taino. So First Rav Moshe says that the first taina I can take away because the chasan is now getting money, so he should take maisel. Who cares if the father-in-law took maisel before? But the second taina, he says, I'll explain to you where the mistake comes from. He says that the olden days, it's very important because if a person will do such a thing in this way, it can work today also. It's not in this specific case, but many times it does happen. He says that the olden days, the people that played the band in wedding, and the people that came and be the waiter in the wedding, they were poor people. And he didn't have to pay them. There was no set price. What happened was they did the service and people gave them money. Also, not just the parents of the chasan and kala. Everyone in the wedding gave money. Also, the parents of the chasan and kala also gave money. So since it was old tzedakah basically giving, so at the olden days they used to consider that as the maisel given for the nidunyo. That's how it was looked at. But he said today, where they charge you a lot of money, say they charge you good money, they make good money on you, so you can't count that as maisel. This is the price you pay for the service you're getting. But he said, but the third taino, which is basically, he says, a very good taino, says the father-in-law says like this: I want my son-in-law to have this money to learn. So now, if my son-in-law is going to give the money away, I'm going to have to give him more money. So that, he says, for sure. So the son-in-law can't give the money away. The father-in-law gave it to him to support himself. And if he says, now what about the chatan and kala? They're such tzaddikim. Say, we don't care. We won't have yellow cheese. We won't have chicken twice a week. Only on Shabbos. Okay. So then we can give the maaser and we can continue living for whatever amount of years you are planning. We'll use the money. So he says that it's not good. Why not? He says they're tzaddikim. He didn't say they're not tzaddikim, but he says, the father-in-law says, I want you to enjoy yourself. Right? I gave you the money because I want you to enjoy yourself. He says, the parents like that the kids are happy. So this kind of it says that, you know, I'm going to use the money for the same amount of time. Doesn't work. But he says like this. He says, what about the $500 extra that come? So let's say his father-in-law says, I'll support you for 5 years. And now he's able to put from this $500 aside some money that will be left to after 5 years. So he said, whatever he's able to put aside that will stay for later, that he doesn't have to take out ma'aser for, because this is already like out of the agreement, and that he should take out ma'aser for. And then he ends with saying another chiddush at the end. He says like this: when a person gets nidunia, a person gets married, his father-in-law, his father gives him money, you have to give ma'aser from that. If they say, here, take $100,000, and that's what we want you to have, it's a present, okay, so you say thank you, and now you have to give out ma'aser. But if they say, we want you to get a certain thing, right? I want you to take this $10,000 and buy yourself a table and chairs. But Tati, I don't want such fancy table and chairs. I don't care. I give you this $10,000. I want you to get this table and chairs, and that's it. This is what the money is for. So then you can't use the money for anything else, and you don't have to give ma'aser, because you have to use the whole money according to what the person who gave you told you to use it for. So then you don't give ma'aser. Okay, so since over here it was given that he should stay in learning and have and use this money meantime, so then he does not have to give ma'aser. So that was this piece. Okay, fine. So this was the end of the first chelak of our shiur. Who is obligated to give ma'aser? Now we're looking how you make the calculation of ma'aser, right? Sometimes there's losses are in the year and making money in the year, and there is expenses of getting the money. So in the Bislechem Yehuda, he has a very interesting. He brings. Remember who he brings? Who does he bring? Anyone remembers who he brings? He brings a matloy. I think it's Dayavitz, right? Who was it? Oh, Shavuos Yaakov. He says the Shavuos Yaakov says like this. He says if a person spends money, he goes on a business trip. So he says there's two people. In the olden days there was Yarid. Everyone came and sold things, and there were people that make, it's like the bulsa today, like the stock market. There's people in buying and selling all the time. And there's brokers. So he says there's brokers going to the market, and there's the people who buy and sell, which are going to the market. So he says the people which are buying and selling, so they can count the expenses of the traveling off what they make. Why? Because they know they're going, they're buying, they're going to have a product, they're going to bring it back, they'll sell it, they make money. But the people which are going to be brokers, so he says, when they go, they don't know that anyone is going to hire him to be a broker. Maybe no one is going to hire him. So he says he's taking the chance. So he says the money that he spent on the traveling, he lost. He knew he's going to lose it. He knows it's. So now if he makes any money, he has to take ma'aser on everything. So now there's a machlokes here in business. This is not a machlokes in London. This is a machlokes in business. The Beis Lechem Yehuda says no. The broker has a much bigger chance. If you should buy stocks, or you should be a broker. So there's a machlokes. According to the Shavuos Yaakov, you should buy the stock, not be a broker. According to the Beis Lechem Yehuda, he says no. The broker has a much bigger chance to make money. He says the broker, especially if he has the people he works with, they hire him, you know he's going to make money. But the people who are buying the merchandise, there's many chances that he'll have losses. So he says this. If anything, there's a bigger chance for the broker to make money. So he says for sure the broker can take the expenses of the traveling off his ma'aser, because he's for sure going to make money. He's not stam going there to take a chance. Okay, but besides the business machlokes, what is clear is that when a person makes a cheshbon in the oitzois, right? When a person had expenses, traveling, getting to the business, whatever is a normal expense, he can take off whatever he considers is revach, whatever he considers money he made. And if there was any losses, chas v'shalom, right? So he takes them off. So if a person makes a few business deals, right? There's a few business deals, and some of them he made money, some of them he lost money. So in the Beis Lechem Yehuda, he says like this: until he sat down and calculated and decided how much money is going for a certain amount of time, right? And maybe he also gave the money away. Won't say no. He holds until you give the money away. Sorry. Zamachloikis. He holds until you give. There's really a few opinions in there. So let's start from Yinakala Lakovet. The Pisa Chuva brings the Yavet. that you can't take expenses from the revach. Even on expenses, we have a machlokes if you can take it from the revach. I get the feeling that the majority hold that you can take expenses off the revach. But even that, the Yavet says not. Now, what about considering one loss to cover if a person made $100,000 in one deal and he lost $20 in a different deal? So does he have to meiser $100 or $80? So as long as the person did not give the meiser for the first one, he can calculate, as long as it's in 1 year, he can calculate everything is one package.
Within one year.
But yeah, from Tishrei to Tishrei, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But he can't pass from 1 year to another. The minig was that the parents used to get the maisla from the nidunyo to give to whoever they wanted. That's how it's brought in the Pisrei Tshuva. And also we saw it also in the Taz, that it used to be given to the relatives of the Chosan and Kala. A person which received, even though the money which was received was already maisel before, they should take maisel. Okay? A husband which gets nichsei tzon balzer, nichsei miluk from his wife, okay? So he doesn't need to take out maisel, but when she dies, so that's when he inherited them, so then he does need to take maisel. Okay? Now a final thing, and with that we're finishing.
Is it only from the wife?
What?
Is it only if he inherits from the wife? What if
no, anything, any inheritance. But he says even though she, let's say it's her apartment, and he comes in when he gets married, so then he doesn't need to take out maaser for it, but if she dies and he inherits the apartment from her, so he does. Now, something which is very nogea to whoever wants to sell an apartment that he bought about 10 years ago, 20 or 30 years ago. So prices went up a lot, right? So a person bought in Ramat Beit Shemesh 14 years ago apartment of 4 bedrooms for about $100,000. Now, today they're about $300,000. But $300,000 today can't get you to where $300,000 can get you then. Then you could have bought 3 apartments, right? And everything else was cheaper also. Bread then, I think, cost about 2 shekels. And now bread costs about 7-8 shekels, right? I'm saying everything changes. How do you look at it? So if a person sells today, he'll have to maisa everything, the money difference between what was to what's today. So Rav Moshe says for sure not. He says because that's not called money made. You have to take money off. You take maisa from any money you made. He says if prices went up and the money value is less, so you didn't make all this amount of money. He says if $300,000 today is worth like $120,000 then, so then you only made $20,000. So that's what you'll take off the maisa. And he says the way we value the maisa, you say, because different things went up in price different. I'm saying prices of tables, chairs, houses, there's so many things going on. So today in Israel they also go with something which is called Madada Pirot Vayerakot. The measuring is according to the fruits and vegetables. And there's also Madada Bnia, but the regular Madada I think is called Madada Pirot Vayerakot, the fruits and vegetables Madad, and that's how we value the change of money. And he says also that basically whatever is the basic needs of a person, which is his basic food, that's how we check what was the difference in money. We look what's the basic food, bread, cheese, whatever the basic food of a person is, we look what was the difference in price in these things between when he bought to when he sold, and according to that we say what was really the value of the money when he bought and when he sold, and then only whatever is really revach, he's going to take out maaser for. So that's what we saw today. Shkoyach.